there is a concept of a mamzer cannot enter the congregation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even a 10th generation cannot come into the Kaal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So the first thing you got to know is like this. Sefer Devarim is not for these halachos. This halacha shouldn't be here. The halacha of who you're allowed to marry, who you're not allowed to marry, should have no shaykhs to Devarim. Sefer Devarim, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, is all about the tzibor, what the tzibor needs, and what the king prescribes, what a king wants to do. That's the concept of what this parsha is all about. Moshe Rabbeinu knew he wasn't going to enter Eretz Yisrael. He knew that the king had to be out there doing certain things. So he said, here's what I want you guys to do. This halacha of a mamzer not joining Klal Yisrael should be with the Arayas. It should be with everything in Parshas Achrimos and Kedoshim Sefer Vayikra, and it should be all around there because that's what those parshas are all about. That's the idea behind it. So it seems strange that it's over here, but here's the concept, says Rav Yaakov. When a person gets married, a man gets married to a woman, it's not that that is an individual avoda where the man and the woman are together and it's a private ceremony and that's that. This is your entrance into Kahal Hashem. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when a man and woman get married, that enters them into a tzibor that they didn't have before. This didn't exist. There was no, they weren't part of the Kaal Hashem before. They were a child of a relationship that was in the Kaal of Hashem. But they themselves weren't in the Kaal of Hashem. And this created them, this allowed them to be in the Kaal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. If so, this is a deal of the tzibor. This has to do with everyone. This has to do with the Kaal, everyone all together. And for that reason, says Rav Yaakov, it makes sense that when a chosim is in a room, when they're davening, he potters them from tachnun. Why? An aval doesn't potter anybody else from tachnun, right? If a bris is happening in shul, it's different. If you had a bris that morning and you're not saying tachnun for mincha, you don't potter the kehila from saying tachnun. Why? And the answer is because marriage is not just about him or her. Marriage is about everyone. Everyone is involved. So there's a tour for the whole kehila, even if they're not going to the wedding, that they don't say tachanun because of that. And that's because it's more of a tzibur dika mitzvah. It's part of the entire kahal. That's the reason why it's over here in Sefer Devarim. Rav Hirsch says, to be part of a kahal Hashem, it's part of a gathering of people that have a purpose. And we're doing what God wants from us in this world, all as one. For that reason, Kiddushin has to be clean from any of those elements that are bad, like Mamzerus, or Suedaka, or Kroshaka, which are blemishes of the body that cannot allow that person to become married. We can't have an Ammoni, or a Moavi, or an Edomi, or a Mitzri, or an Amaleki as part of our system. And the reason why is because of this. This Mamzer represents a part of society that we want to forget. That people give into their taivas, into their desires, which are not spiritually motivated, which are physically motivated, and specifically taiva motivated. They get into it, and that's what this, the occurrence. The mamzer is from that relationship. The mamzer is from an us relationship. Marriage cannot be about the physical, says Rav Hirsch. It's got to be about the aspect of kedusha, which this child's parents lack. And for that reason, a child like this, whose parents were only about the physical and not about the ruchnius, cannot be part of Klal Yisrael. You want to be part of a Kaal Hashem, you have to consider both the Gashmis that you have and the Ruchnias, and then you can join Kaal Hashem. Klal Yisrael is a mitzvah, Pur Revu. And not because we're just a regular people that just we want to have that physical relationship. It's because we're about the special holiness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. That mitzvah, Pur Revu, is to have as many children as possible, says Rabbi Yonis and Eibshitz. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shouldn't allow a mamzer to exist. Because every birth is miraculous. Anytime a child is conceived is miraculous. So why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu want a miracle for a mamzer to be born? There's a rias involved. In such a situation where you have a man being together with a woman who he shouldn't be together with, then don't allow there to be a pregnancy that works. Don't allow the child to be formed. That's such an obvious thing. If it's all about miracles, don't allow the miracle to be there. And don't tell me, no, it's a natural occurrence. Child rearing, there's no question that... Yes, we see it as natural, but conception, the way that we think of it in Torah terms, is truly a miracle. So why in the world, says Rav Yonis and Eibshitz, does Hashem allow it to happen? And the answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows it to happen for there to be a simon that it's not just a hefker velt. You can do what you want. Sometimes there are massive repercussions to what you do. And this is a massive repercussion that you really can't do tshuva for. You have a mamzer in this world. What are you supposed to do? There is an ongoing simen that you sinned horribly, and it's right there. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does the following. he doesn't allow for a special bracha to be there, where you'll have extra kids. You won't have the extra bracha of Puru Ravu, in which you'll have more kids than normal in such situations. But to have a child, the child can still occur. That's the idea behind what Rav Yonasan Eifshit says over here. It will occur, but it's not going to give you the extra bracha. This is one of the reasons why we have to get involved and say, take the mamzer out, because there won't be as much bracha by such a relationship. Now, what exactly defines a mamzer? Machlokas Tanoim in the Gemara. This machlokas is the three-way machlokas, but the two main opinions are Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. The machlokas is, and how we paskin is, that a mamzer is someone who comes from a relationship of arayas, where you're chayiv kares for that relationship. If the relationship is so bad that it caused a person to be chayiv kares, the child from that relationship, like with a mother or with a sister, with a married woman, etc., the child is going to be a mamzer. The only exception to that rule is being together with a nida. The child from a nida, even though there's a punishment of kares for such a relationship, the child is not a mamzer, but everything else that is chayiv kares would be that way. Rambam says it doesn't matter who is ba'onis, baratzim, b'shogig, b'mezid, it doesn't make any difference. If the child was born, the child is a mamzer. There are those that hold that that it goes even more, like Rabbi Akiva. Even if you marry a machzer grushaso, meaning a man divorces a woman, she marries someone else, she gets widowed or divorced, and you remarry her, and you have a child. According to Rabbi Akiva, that kid could be a mamzer. Marrying a non-Jew, marrying an eved, the child could be a mamzer. But we don't paskin that way. Having a child with a non-Jew does not make the child a mamzer. That makes the child a non-Jew, a man with a non-Jewish woman, a woman with a Jewish mamzer, well, let's just say, a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man, the child is Jewish, not a mamzer. In that situation, we paskin differently, but there are opinions that say the way. Targum Yonasan from New Zealand, this week's Parsha, says that the following. He says, Demis Yaldin means nu. A child who's a mamzer is born from znus, born from an illicit relationship. That's the definition of a mamzer. There seems to be, in my mind, six different definitions of where the word mamzer comes from and how it's defined. Number one, Targum Yonasan says the word mamzer means debay muma bisha. The child has a bad blemish. Diz yayiba mamaya cholonai. That happens when you're with a person you're not supposed to be with. That's what happens. It's a mum from being together with a zor, with a stranger, someone you shouldn't have been with. That is a mamzer. That's the idea behind it. This is how Rabbi Avo defines mamzer. He said it's a mum zor in the Yerushalmi, in Kiddush and Paragimel. He says in Yavam Asayim Vavam Beis, it's in the Sifri. That's one idea. The Torah Tumima says it's rare to find a drusha on a word like that, meaning this is a regular word. Why would the Torah darshan the word mamzer when it doesn't normally darshan a regular word? That's what it means. Why would you say mum zar for mamzer? Maybe the word is just mamzer. Maybe that's just what it is. Says, and this is an interesting Torah Tmima, the shoresh of every word in Hebrew is three letters. You normally have three letters, like ochal, aleph, chaf, lamed. You have many very derivatives that come from the word achal, like achlu, or achalti, or nochal, something like that. But the word achal is the shoresh. Almost always the shoresh is three letters. If you ever find a word where the shoresh of the word is two letters, four letters, or five letters, maybe even more, then Chazal darshan it. There's something wrong. If it's not the typical three letters, then Chazal say there's something up here, let's figure out what it is. Mamzer, there is no shoresh. The shoresh of the word mamzer is mamzer, mem, mem, zayin, resh. Because that's the shoresh of the word, we darshan that shoresh. And we say, what's going on here? What is that? We say, it must be mumzar. That's how the Torah Tumima puts it. Meshech Chochma says that there is a shoresh here. The shoresh is zor, but that's another issue for another time. Now, there's a malbim over here as well. The Chizkuni says it really means mazar. Mizar would be from a zar. So it's not mumzar, it's really mizar. He's from a stranger, similar to that idea of mumzar. The Ramban says, this name is not given because he's from a strange relationship. Here's what happens. Back then especially, when there was a child born who was a mamzer and looked different, acted different, etc., the parents, as you can understand, were tremendously embarrassed. And quite often, they threw the kid out of the house. Well, it's the right thing. Obviously, we're not going to deal with whether that's the right thing or not. But they would throw the kid out of the house. Says the Ramban, that child was called a mamzer because he was a mum to his parents, and thus he became a zor by being thrown out of the house. He was a stranger to his own parents because they couldn't handle having the kid around. Yeah, Dave.
So, Yishai did that with David, right? He sent them out into the
field. Seemingly, yeah. That's
now,
what he did with David.
They look different. It would seem that most of them would look a
illicit relationship, like Aishas Ish or whatever it was. Yeah, that's what it would be.
An ancestral relationship, it would look more...
Ancestral, you're right. It probably would look the same, but I'm sure there was some... Maybe there was some type of, you know, obviously there could be genetic issues. So maybe there was something there.
A kid that's not Jewish or a
mamzer? I can't tell you what's worse.
No.
I hear what you're saying. I can't tell you. Yeah, I'm not gonna go into that. Yeah, Rabbeinu Ephraim suggests another word that's interesting to be able to connect to this one. He says the word is zirmas susim zirmasam. The filth of the horses is what they do. It's referring to non-Jews and their willingness to be in illicit relationships and not care about what other people do. With single people, whether it's dealing with anything, they're willing to do anything they want to do. It's zirmas susim zirmasam. The word mamzer is derived from the word mizram, that they just allow themselves to be equal to anybody, to be together with anybody they want. They're acting like wild animals. And in such a way, a mamzer is a child from a mazar, a wild animal relationship, where it's only about the taiva. That's the way the Rabbeinu Ephraim suggests it. Rav Hirsch says, based on psukim, this I never knew before. We all know what mazalos are, right? Mazalos are constellations in the sky. He says the word mazar, Mem Zayin Resh, is used in Eov in two places, Perek Lamed Zayin Lamed Ches. And in both places, it refers to a constellation that announces the seasons that are coming. There is a mazar that goes up. When the winter is coming, the mazar comes first. That's what it says. Now he says, reverse says, that word may be connected to the word mosar, to be given over. Like once it comes in, it's ready to be given. A mamzer, therefore, is someone who owes his whole existence to someone else that's beyond his control, and he has nothing to do with it. Just like the mazar is a constellation that comes in whether you like it or not. It automatically happens, and something will happen when it comes in, and the mazar cannot really control it. It's just the predecessor to that thing happening. So to a mamzer, comes in from something else. That's where Rav Hirsch puts it out. Tosefes Bracha says something really interesting. I never heard this before in my life. Sometimes the letter ayin is missing on purpose from a word. And you'll see it in many different places where Rashi will say this. For example, it says, Uli Yishmael, in a pasuk in Parshas Chayi Sarah. And in Rashi, in Lech Lecha, I'm sorry. And in Rashi, over there in Lech Lecha, he says, Uli Yishmael means the Al Yishmael. There's an I in there that's missing, says Rashi. It's really the Al Yishmael. We just missed out on the I in. But there's an I in there that should have been there. It's not and to Yishmael. It's on Yishmael, we say the following. Okay, so that's one thing. There's also Reb Zerah. You've heard of Reb Zerah in Shas, right? Rebbe Zerah. The real name of Reb Zerah throughout the Yerushalmi is Rebbe Zeira, Zayin Ayin Yud Resh Aleph. He's called Rebbe Zerah in all of Bavli. Not all Bavli, a few places he's mentioned as Zeira. But in almost all Bavli, he's called Reb Zerah. And he's called as Rebbe Zeira with an ayin in Yerushalmi. Now, why is he called Rebbe Zeira? Says the Gemara. It's a Gemara in Bav Metzia that mentions that the reason why Rebbe Zeira was called that is because he was diminutive in size. He was a small guy. Zeira means a small person in Aramaic. Right? So because of that, Zeir Shom, if anybody remembers from the Av Torah. Therefore, Rebbe Zeira is really Rebbe Zeira. It's really referring to this same person, but an ayin is missing. You see that there could be an ayin missing from certain words, and that's okay. He gives a ton of examples. Those are two of the examples. He says, with the word mamzer, there's an ayin missing. It should be mima. It should be like mem ayin, zayin resh. And what it means is, mime'ei zor, may I use the intestines, the stomach of a person. It really refers to the ability to have a child. You are a child of a zor. It's a missing ayin, and that's what it's doing over there, and that's where the word mamzer comes from. But it's just an unbelievable idea. The Rambam holds in Hilchos Yisuri Bia Perek as well, this mamzer is never allowed to marry a Jewish woman at all. Likewise, mamzeres is never allowed to marry a Jewish man. If they do so and they consummate the marriage, if they get married, they have kiddushin, and they consummate the marriage by being together, they get malchus. That's what ends up happening if they're together. If they're mekadesh without consummating, or they consummate the marriage but they don't have kiddushin, there's no malchus involved. The Ravid and the Ramban argue, and they say you get malchus for any relations with a mamzer no matter what, even if there's no kiddushin involved. Yeah.
They can't redeem themselves whatsoever?
A mamzer? Absolutely not. Not only that, the child. Child from any relationship with a mamzer is automatically a mamzer. It goes on. There is no way to break it. Well, we'll see. There is one, but that's that. But that's the way to be able to go through.
Matrilineal or matrilineal?
I'm sorry?
Patrilineal.
Both. Patrilineally or matrilineal, whichever one. If the father or the mother is a mamzer, automatically the child is a mamzer. That doesn't change.
But how would people attract that if it's the father's side?
It always, you are right that Jewishness comes from the mother's side, but there still is some type of lineage that comes from the father. The Yichus, remember, the Shvatim all come from the father, so there is a connection there, and both of them are true. If a Mamzer is together, however, with a non-Jewish woman or a Shivcha, he's not allowed to be together with a non-Jewish woman, he's not allowed to be together with a Shivcha, but if he does, if he's together with a non-Jewish woman or a Shivcha, then the child is not his. Now, a mamzeres can never be matar herself. There's no way. Her child is automatically a mamzer. But a mamzer man, if he's together with a non-Jewish woman or a shivcha, the child from the non-Jewish woman or the shivcha becomes like her, a non-Jewish child. If that non-Jewish child then converts, he's a full ger, not a mamzer. That's the way to be matar. Now, again, you can't marry a non-Jewish woman. Even a mamzer is not allowed to marry a non-Jewish woman. He can marry a gioris, but he can't marry a non-Jewish woman. But if he does, if he has a relationship with a non-Jewish woman, that is the way to be matar. The way they do it is together with a shivcha who's not not designated for another eved. He's together with a shivcha kananis. Shivcha kananis gives birth to the child. The child is an eved. And then the eved is freed. The eved is freed. That eved is an eved meshuchrer who can then converted. And he's Jewish. He's not a mamzer. Now, there's problems with that. Number one, whether he can be together with a shivcha. Number two, you're not allowed to free an eved. La'olam bam tavodu. An eved kenani or a shivcha kenanis cannot be freed. It's la'olam bam tavodu. It's an asay in the Torah. But if it would happen, that's the way to be matara mamzer. There is a way to be able to do it. But a mamzer can't be together with a gioris. You know what's interesting? The Rambam even holds, if a ger marries a gioris. Listen to this. Ger marries a gioris. And the child, right, of that relationship is obviously a full Jew. Gerah marries a Gioris, his whole Russo, the way that he was conceived and the way he was born was as a Jew, right? That child, if everyone knows that his parents are Gerim, that child can still marry a Mamzer. Isn't that an interesting Rambam? And it keeps going. As long as the shame Gerus is on those children, you can marry a Mamzer or a Mamzeris. It's a really interesting Rambam, and not for now, but like that's one of the interesting Rambams.
Does that fix up the next generation? Meaning, if a
No, the child will still be a mamzer, right? But the mamzer can still marry that Jewish woman who's a Jew. Yeah.
But you can marry a mamzer and get malchus. How is the marriage?
A Yisraelis? I can't tell you. I mean, that's a bit much for this. But yeah, check out that Rambam.
But a Jew marrying a boy is not really a marriage.
It's agreed. It wouldn't be a marriage. It would be you wouldn't get malchus, but that would be the result of such a relationship. It would be there. There is a machlokas. If having a mamzer is yotze the mitzvah puruvu, if you give birth to a child who's a mamzer, are you yotze the mitzvah? The Rambam says you are. You're yotze the mitzvah. The Ramah says in Emunah Ezer Siman Aleph, you are. You're yotze the mitzvah puruvu if you have a mamzer. Miyam Loi says you're not. Sefer HaChasidim in number 500 says mamzerim. Listen to this. Mamzerim cannot have children that survive. A mamzer that has a child, the child, he says Sefer HaChasidim, will not survive. According to that, if they're not going to survive, that means it's a trefa. A trefa, you're not yotze puru revu. Technically, by the way, if you kill that kid, you're not chayiv misa. You're not chayiv misa for a trefa. You can't kill a person who's a trefa. But if you kill them, you're not chayiv misa. So technically, according to this Sefer HaChasidim, a trefa is a person who you know is going to die. Technically, one of the Gemara means you know he's going to die within 12 months. Gosis is dying. But you know he's going to die within 12 months. But technically, the way the Sefer HaChasidim is putting it is technically he's a trefa. He's not going to survive. But it's a pella because we know that mamzerim have children. We know that mamzerim are going to have kids. It's just a strange thing. What's up?
What happened to the halacha that if you end a person's life even 1 second early, it's murder?
That's it's murder, but you're not chayiv misa for it. You cannot do it. It's usur. But you're not chayiv misa for killing a goses or a trefa. That's not chayiv misa, but obviously you cannot do it. It's absolutely usur. And it could even be by a goses you could be chayiv misa for it. There's a way. But a trefa you're not chayiv misa for. There's no chiv in the Torah for that.
You can do an abortion for a child that's a
That's another issue. Abortion is another issue. It's another thing for another time. Obviously there's a lot of issues behind that. There's tremendous tshuvas on it. I suggest everyone look in the Abiya Omer. There's one huge tshuva on the Abiya Omer. But Sitz Eliezer, everybody has one. You should see the Ben Ish Chai, what the Ben Ish Chai writes about such issues. But it's absolutely amazing. He says himself, he's like, I don't want to get involved with this. I'm just going to quote other people. That's what the Ben Ish Chai says. The chief of Sephardic Jewry, you know, in the early 1900s, late 1800s. And he says, I'm not involving myself with this. Here's what everybody says. Take it. it's a crazy line, right? You have to speak to your own Rav, he said. Pardes Yosef says from the Aruch Lener and the Stei Chemed that in the days of the Nevi'im, possibly by Ezra's time, they davened that Mamzerim wouldn't have children. This is part of their tefillah. They davened that Mamzerim couldn't have children so they wouldn't marry into Klal Yisrael. I want you to remember, in Ezra's time, there were major issues. Major issues in the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Kiddushin at the end of the fourth parak goes into what Ezra had to do to cleanse Klal Yisrael, who he took with him to Eretz Yisrael so that he could keep bubble clean. He purposely took the questionable people so that he would make sure that everybody in Klal Yisrael was going to be clean. It's a crazy line from the Pardes Yosef, from the Stei Chemed, etc. But they davened. They said, we don't want this. The Baal HaTorim says, because the pasuk before this is talking about Ptsu Adaka and Krus Shavcha, which is a part of where the person doesn't have the ability to give birth to children and therefore can't get married to a woman in some way, shape, or form. Therefore, a mamzer is like that in that they can't give birth to children. That's how the Baal HaTorim puts it. So similar to this idea over here. The Chassam Sofer in Torah Moshe says there were Rishonim. I don't know if he's referring to the same people, those in the times of Anshe Knesset Gedolah and Ezra Sofer, or if he's referring to Rishonim as in the Rishonim period, meaning Rashi, Rambam. I think he's talking about the Anshe Knesset Gedolah, who said those Rishonim, they davened that mamzerim should not survive more than 10 generations. Not that they should not give birth, but that they shouldn't survive more than 10 generations. And he gives the proof from the pasuk. Lo yavo, gam dora siri, lo yavo lo bekal Hashem. Even the 10th generation. Why do you have to say that? Even the 10th generation. Of course, if mamzerim give birth to mamzerim, give birth to mamzerim, then any generation, 12th generation, 15th generation, 20th generation. But gam dora siri, he says, because mamzeris will not last more than 10 generations. That's the Chassam Sofer. He says it from over there. He suggests it was during the times of the Churban. People were doing terrible things. There were non-Jews that were doing things to Klal Yisrael, allowing things to happen in Klal Yisrael. And that was the idea behind it. There is a Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Naso that says every 60 years, Hashem brings along a plague called Andromusya. If you recognize that word, it's from Rashi in Parshas Noach by the Mabul. That whenever there's a riot in the world, Andromusya comes in the world and destroys them all. Says this Medrash Rabbah, Andromusya comes into the world, it's a plague, and it wipes out all Mamzerim. Every 60 years, they're all gone completely. Medrash doesn't explain why this happens or how this happens. It just says during that time itself. The Tosefes Brachah Miyamloi says, maybe it's because there's a Gemara in Ksuvis Chafam Abeis that says, Edus can be remembered for 60 years, no longer. You cannot testify on something that happened. You know, there's a statute of limitations, right? How long you can bring up a court case in court. Statute of limitations for Edus in Klal Yisrael is 60 years. You can have things written down, but for people to remember it, you're not going to remember past 60 years, says the Gemara. It's not going to happen. Seemingly, that means people remember these people are Mamzerim for 60 years. After 60 years, it's forgotten. And because of that, we say after 60 years, forget it, they're gone. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of it himself, all Mamzerim will be gone. An unbelievable line, but that's how they understand, right? So that's that. That's connected to a Gemara in Yevamos Ayin Ches Mabez, but not for now. Okay, so there is a whole thing of what it means by the Kal Hashem. I'm not going into that. There's an amazing Rashi, Sifsei Chachamim, Chassam Sofer, and Yosef Halal over here. You can look it up yourself, but that's all in Rashi. What does the pasuk mean by Gam Dor Asiri? The Chassam Sofer says that they davened that there wouldn't be more than 10 generations. But seemingly it sounds from the pasuk, Gam Dor Asiri L'Yavolo means 11th generation Mamzerim can join Klal Yisrael. 10th generation can't join Klal Yisrael, but an 11th generation Mamzer could join Klal Yisrael. Now again, that will be after a long period of time. Think about it this way. Think of your great, just go all the way through. Your father probably lived, he gave birth to you, what, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever it is, right? Think of your grandfather, great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather. 10 generations, give or take, if you do about 20 years per generation, right? 10 generations and 20 years, you're dealing with 20 years each altogether, you're dealing with at least 200 years. 200 years, right? So you have to remember that all the way through, but it is a long time to be able to go through. But after that, seemingly it's mutter. Rashi, in Bechoros Daf Yud Zayin, says a mamzer is forbidden forever. Ad olam. It doesn't say it in the pasuk, but a mamzer is forbidden forever, not just 10 generations. So what's pshat? Why would the pasuk write it this way? If really a mamzer is usher forever and there's no way of getting around it, why would it change when it comes to something like that? So the Ksav HaKabbalah, writes down that 10 is a number that connotes something being finished. Whenever you see the word 10, it means it's over. Everything is completely done. That's what he says over here. He says, even the 10th generation means forever. There's an obvious idea behind this, by the way. What does it say from Adam until Noah? How many generations were there from Adam until Noah? Obviously, 10. How many from Noah to Avram? 10. That was like the end of a period, of an epoch, was 10 generations. 10 means something is finished and over. That's the idea behind it. He then says, the reason why I didn't say Ad Olam is because of Rabbi Yossi and Kiddushin. All Mamzerin are going to be Tahor in the future when Eliyahu HaNavi comes. Gemara in Kiddushin, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph says, all Mamzerin will be Tahor in the days of Mashiach. Mashiach's going to come, Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come with them, and he's going to be Matar all Mamzerin. How? I have no idea. He's going to say somehow how every single person who's a mamzer is really completely mutter. At that point, whatever it's going to be, maybe it's a Rosh Shah that allows them to get married to whoever they wish. That means you can't say that mamzerim are usher forever. Why can't they be usher forever? Because there will be a time when mamzerim are mutter. And even that guy who is a mamzer could end up becoming mutter in the days of Mashiach. And therefore, ad olam does not apply in this case over here. However, by the way, halachically, any mamzer that happens after Mashiach comes, I know, you can ask, but there's no Yetzirah, I get it. But if a mamzer happens after Mashiach comes, he still retains the status of mamzer. He would be a mamzer. He doesn't change retroactively because Eliyahu HaNavi came and was Matar the Mamzerin. It only happens at that time itself. But it's an unbelievable line. Tosefes Bracha quotes it from Taimim Mesoros HaMikra as well, right? The idea behind it. Additionally, we just said, you can't say Ad Olam because is there a way for a mamzer to become Torah? Him himself, no. But could his children become taller? Yeah, if he's together with a non-Jewish lady or a shivcha. There is a way for that mamzer to become taller through them. He could, if he marries them, then the child that's born ends up being that way. In Yevamis, Ayin Chesem Abayis, Rish Lakish says, based on his pasuk, a mamzeres is mutter to join Klal Yisrael after 10 generations. It's fine. So, meaning he argues, and our psak is Ad Olam, but Rish Lakish argues, 11th generation, she's allowed to join Klal Yisrael. The Vilna Gaon, Reb Leibish Charif, and the Astrav Tzur Rebbe, they all say the exact same idea. A father and mother are partners in the child. Okay? They're partners in the child. So you're going to do a little bit of math with me, right? That means that every child is half their dad, half their mom. Let's go with the father being the momzer. Okay? So the child is half momzer. The child, right, that's born from that, is a quarter momzer. Does everybody get why? Because he's got two grandparents, so he's a quarter mamzer, okay? The child born from that is an eighth of a mamzer.
You're assuming that there's only one mamzer in this equation from all
eight. Yeah, all one, just, let's assume there's one mamzer, so it goes down, right? So if it goes through, that's an eighth of a mamzer. Goes down, 16th of a mamzer. Goes down, 32nd of a mamzer. It's 32th, right, of a mamzer, right? Goes down, 164th of a mamzer. Keep going, you're going to get to 128th. 1/256, the 9th generation is 1/512, the 10th generation, you are 1 out of 1,024 parts a mamzer. Now here's the deal. Even a bria, that means a full creature, like a whole rat or a whole bug, is batel in 1,000. It's a Gemara, it's a Mishnah really in Peah, but it's batel in 1,000 altogether. Once it hits 1/960th, it's batel. So if you're 1/1024th of a mamzer, you're batel from being a mamzer and you're mutter and klal Yisrael. We don't paskin this way, but that's the idea that if you keep going, you are no longer a mamzer when it goes through.
Everyone's relationship was an usher relationship, right?
Yeah, it was completely. Yeah, well, let's say Gioras. Let's say it was a Gioras each time. Let's just say that, you know, to get around it.
Oh, they married Gioras.
Yeah, and that's mutter, a mamzer, but the child is a mamzer. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I'm just saying, like, if it goes through, if it happens this way, then that's where it goes through. There is a problem with this, by the way. There aren't two partners in every person. The Gemara Nida, Daf Lamed, says there are three partners. A husband, wife, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Maybe a Kaddish Baruch Hu, like, takes himself out in order to matzah the mamzer. I have no idea. But it is a strange line from the Vilna Gaon, because it's three partners in a person, not just two. Yeah.
But if you go by this logic, until he's down to 1 in 1,024, that's mm-hmm. still 10 generations down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would only be Ad Dor Asiri, Lo Yavolo.
But it says even the 10th generation is good. You said we definitely
could be 11. Ooh, that's a good call. That's a good call. What about the 10th generation? Very good, Mazi. Very good. I did not think of that. Maybe maybe it is. Hold on. The 10th generation is 1/1064, so you should be mutter. The pasuk says, Ad Dora Siri lo yavol avakal Hashem. Until the 10th generation, he can't join in. Sounds like the 10th generation is mutter. Maybe that's the way to learn it. Good call, though. Very good call. I did not think of that. That's a very, very good call. There's an Atar Zadar over here as well, but we're not going to go into it. I'm sorry? Ad Dora Siri. Yeah, the wording is Gam Dora Siri. Ooh, you're right. I made up a pasuk. Yeah, that's a problem. That's a really good call. Yeah. He just knocked out the Vilna Gaon. Mati, really good. I like that. Yeah, you're right. It says, Gam Dora Siri Levlo B'Kal Hashem. Even the 10th generation can't, but according to this, the 10th generation could. It's the 11th generation that can't. I don't know. That's a great call. I like the question. I don't know. I don't have an answer. If anybody wants to answer that, I'd have to check up the Gemara and Yevamos. Maybe the wording of Reish Lakish is a little bit different. I don't know. That's a very, very interesting call. Let's finish this off over here. We have time. 05? Okay, we have a little bit of time over here. We have a couple things, whether or not they're going to live a long time. I don't want to go into everything, but I will tell you, there's an Avos to Rabbi Nassen in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Ches that says, Mamzerim were allowed to live everywhere, but not in Yerushalayim. They were never allowed to live in Yerushalayim. Maybe it's that they couldn't mingle together with the people. But that's an interesting call, whether or not they're allowed to live everywhere. Okay, now we have to ask why. What's the pshat? Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu want this mamzer? It's no fault of the mamzers, right? The mamzer didn't do anything wrong to deserve to not be part of Klal Yisrael. What did the mamzer do to have this punishment that he can't join in and can't marry anyone in Klal Yisrael? Now, on the one hand, we have to look at this. The wording of the Gemara in Makos, if anybody remembers this, is Tuvia chata v'zigud mangid. You remember that wording? Tuvia sins and Zigud is whipped. What happened was, Zigud was a guy, he saw Tuvia do something wrong. He was 1-8. He went to Beis Din, and he testified that Tuvia did something wrong. And Beis Din whipped him for saying Lashon Hara on Tuvia. Because 2-8 are needed for that case. 1-8 is not good enough. So Zigud got up and said, Tuvia chata, Tuvia is the one that sinned. The Zigud mangid, and Zigud is the one that's getting whipped? Why in the world am I getting whipped over here? That's the idea. So over here also, why is the mamzer being punished for something that his parents did? Why would he be punished for that? It's really a solid question. Now, we have to remember, a mamzer can be a chashuv person. The Gemara says, if you have a mamzer Talmud Chacham and a Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz, the mamzer Talmud Chacham comes first before the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz. The mamzer Talmud Chacham can come first for an Aliyah before the Kohen Gadol Am Haaretz, even though he's a Kohen Gadol. The mamzer Talmud Chacham comes first. There are certain things that he's not allowed to do. He's not allowed to marry Yisraelis. He's not allowed to be a judge in dinei nefashos, in capital cases. That's brought down by the Rambam. He's not allowed, according to the Shach, in Yoradei Reish Pei Aleph Ches, he's not allowed to write a Sefer Torah. You know that? A mamzer cannot be a sofer. Cannot be a sofer, according to the Shach. Not only that, according to the Paneach Raza, a Rishon, in Parshas Chayisara, you're not allowed to teach Torah to a mamzer. If you know that a person is a mamzer, you cannot teach him Torah. Crazy, right? He doesn't give a reason. It's a Paneach Raza, it's a Rishon.
So you're allowed to teach a non-Jew Torah?
No, can't do that either.
Sure, if they ask, I thought that was allowed.
No, you can do something. You can't do everything. That's Hillel and Lamed Aleph and Aleph and Shabbos, right? But no. You can't teach a Goy everything. You can teach certain things. Mishpatim Bal Yida'um. Right? That's what we say in our Hallelujahs. You can't do that. But even a mamzer, according to the Paneach Raza, cannot learn Torah. Nevertheless, he's got to put on tefillin every day. That for sure. He's got to wear tzitzis daily. He can testify in courts of law. He's allowed to testify in dinei mamonis. He can be a judge in those cases. He can get an aliyah. Right? And the Amloi says all those things are totally mutter. Sometimes, when a man or woman is challenged with these types of restrictions, they think, like, you know, if I have this restriction, I can't do it, then I might as well just do anything. And our Torah is telling us, no, there's another job that this guy has, something different. Where you'd think, okay, this guy is free to do whatever he wants. No, this guy has a different job. He's got to marry a Gioris. So we'll find a Gioris or a Shivcha Mishuchreris that he can marry. And that's a job. Or a Mamzeris that he can marry. And that's his job. There are requirements that we have to keep. And even he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, set up his Zivug, whoever it's going to be, there is a Zivug for this person. He has to think that way. In fact, Rabbeinu Ephraim even says a line. Why are mamzerim so smart and quick? That's what he says. They're pikhim. Every mamzer, he says, is a pikeach. Very, very bright. And he says the most unbelievable line. We've already said there are restrictions by a mamzer, but there are some awesome things by mamzeris as well. They're pikhim. And the reason why is because even though the mother and the father were doing something evil at the time, something that's an erva, They were doing it b'simcha. And when a child is conceived b'simcha, then the child is a pikeach and a chacham. That's an unreal line from the Rabbeinu Ephraim. Even though there's a sin involved, but it causes the child, because there's a simcha, because mayim genuvim yimtaku, when it's stolen water and something that's forbidden, that makes it sweeter for them. Since they're enjoying what they're doing, and they're doing what they're doing, even though it's an iser, besimcha, it causes the child to be a pikeach.
But that goes against the lashon of mitzvah
of
stolen
avera. There's no question it's an avera. No question that it's usher and chayiv kares.
Right.
That's not a kasha. That doesn't mean that the result from it doesn't make the child into a pikeach. That's the line from the Rabbeinu Ephraim. So there are, I don't want to say milas. That's not the right word for it. But there is something that a mamzer could have that others don't. A mamzer could be a Talmud Chacham. That could happen from this. So the Chizkuni says, that's a great call. That's a great call. We don't know. According to that, the way the Panach Ras is learning, I don't know. That's a great call. That's a kasha you can ask on that. The Chizkuni says, since this child is rooted in a sin so terrible, it might have made him into a vikeach, but there's something rooted. He was conceived out of such evil in something that's chayiv kares. He and his children can never become kosher again. There's something wrong in the system, and you can't take that out. That's how the Chizkuni puts it. There's a psul in his system, and he can't get that out forever. He has to accept that and live with it and go on with it, but that's what he has. The Chassam Sofer says a little bit more than that. You know, the Parsha of Ammon and Moav is right next to the Parsha of Mamzer. We got Mamzer, and then we got Ammon and Moav right afterward. They're right next to each other. They're not allowed to join Klal Yisrael, Ammon and Moav, because they had something evil in their hearts. When Bnei Yisrael were going through the Midbar, they refused to give them food and drink, and in fact, instead of giving them something, they killed them. They gave them gas or whatever it is in order to kill them, right, instead of allowing them to live. Meaning, Ammon and Moab were so evil, we say we don't want that evil among us. We want to keep the evil of Ammon and Moab out of us. Listen to this. How were Ammon and Moab born? Where do these nations come from? Who do they come from? Lot and?
His daughters.
From a chiyuv kares, which means every person in Ammon and Moab is a mamzer. What we're trying to tell you by putting mamzer next to Ammon and Moab is because mamzerim, whether they know it or not, whether they realize it or not, there's something in their system that doesn't allow them to be good. Again, there could be a mamzer talmid chacham. We just said that. We said there's amazing things by mamzeris. Maybe that guy was so great, he overcame all the deficiencies, but most mamzerim cannot overcome that deficiency that's in their system, even if it's generations and generations and generations later, like Ammon and Moab. You see what Ammon and Moab are like. And if they're like that, even though the Mamzeris was years and years and years earlier, and generations earlier, that's true by this Mamzer as well. Says the Chassam Sofer, that never goes away. And that's a psul that remains, so to speak, forever. It's an amazing idea, I guess you could say psychologically, that the guy can't get out of, and therefore the result is X. The guy is usher to join Klal Yisrael. It's a crazy line, an unbelievably crazy line. But it's to think to ourselves, our actions have repercussions. We can't think to ourselves, I'll just do this and there won't be any. Everything you do has a repercussion. And sometimes those repercussions are severe. Sometimes they are extreme. This is an extreme repercussion to an action that you know you shouldn't have done. And that's what we have to take away from. I'm going to end with this over here. Halachically, you are never allowed to call a person a mamzer. If you call a person a mamzer, Miyam Lois says in Kedushin Chav Ches, if you call a person a mamzer, you get malchus. You get 39 lashes. Because if you're saying that he's a mamzer whose parents were chayiv malchus for doing what they did to create him, then you get malchus yourself, says Miyam Lois. That's what happens. Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tav Chav says, if a city doesn't have that minhag to give malchus, instead of you hear a person calling another person a mamzer, you should fine the person with money so that he never does it ever again. Name calling. You think, like, you probably all grew up with the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Names hurt people. I've never understood that. Of course they hurt people. You call someone a name, they're going to take it to heart. They might say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but they're crying when they these won't hurt me. Of course it hurts a person. To say something, even as a joke to another person, it's a serious offense. And even in a joking manner, you're chayiv for doing so. Even then, there's something extreme behind it. Okay, guys, we're going to stop with that. Have a great Shabbos.